your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let your will be done.
This is Prophets Don't Wear Plaid. I want to welcome everybody. My name is Brian David Thompson. I'm here in the studio with CK Thompson. How's it going?
Hello. Hey, it's going great, Brian.
That's good.
I'd like to say welcome to everyone who's listening today. I want you to know how much God loves you. And I also want to say thank you to the Streams of Many Waters podcasting network. We really appreciate you guys. This is going to be a very interesting podcast today, and I really encourage you to listen. The Lord began to mantle me. I could feel it in the spirit before we even turned on the what do we turn on here?
Recorder. Just once we started rolling.
Yeah.
Well, that's good news.
I don't know what that machinery is over there. Mm-hmm. I just talk.
That's the important part. Yeah, I got it here.
So welcome. The Lord has some powerful things that he wants to release on the United States of America.
All right.
And it's really coming up on a very crucial time in the history of our country.
Okay.
The Lord, first of all, before the election, and even actually after the election, right in that time, the Lord let us know that we almost lost our country. We almost lost our country to secularism, to the spirit of Jezebel on the left.
Sure.
We almost lost our country to the enemy's agenda and the enemy's alternate destiny for America. Because God gave us, God created America. He made covenant with those who started our country. They didn't start our country.
What, the founders.
The founders, right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And he made covenant with many, many people, not just the ones we know about on paper, you know.
Yeah.
Covenant about the destiny of America. And God intends to keep his word to America. But right now, it's like we are in the battle for the soul of America. And the fact that Donald Trump won, I just want to point out, in spite of all of the rigging against him.
Yeah.
There's nothing less than a landslide. Seriously. It was so rigged against him. This entire election
quite
was
a victory.
So rigged against him that the fact that he won was part of the reason that they were so traumatized over there.
Yeah. Although we know even that, you know, Hillary Clinton, she had things rigged. Or the DNC, I should say, had things rigged against Bernie Sanders, even in the primaries.
Yes.
And that was on their own side. So you can imagine how they felt about the Republicans.
And she had been making deals with the pharmaceutical companies since the 1990s when she was trying to do healthcare back then.
Yeah.
And so all these years, they had been pouring money into her pockets with the promise on her part that she was going to make them rich and help fulfill their agenda with healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was going to tweak Obamacare and make it what she wanted and keep her promise to the pharmaceutical companies. And I don't know why I'm talking about that because I normally don't like to talk about things that...
Yeah, I'm surprised too.
I know.
But, I mean,
sounds like conspiracy,
well.
Conspiracy stuff.
Right.
But it's actually... Well, I saw it on TV, so it has to be true.
No, oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Yeah.
But,
well, I mean, it was her turn to become president.
Yes.
In her mind.
In her mind. Know. In her little world.
She put in the time, and it was her turn.
Right.
It got all messed up.
And God had a different thing in mind. Because of the cries and the prayers of his people, yes. But even more than that, because of the destiny that he promised and made covenant with the founders of our country. He is a covenant-keeping God, and a lot of people don't realize that. And every time I start talking about, you know, God has a plan for America, God, this is what God is going to do, there's invariably going to be somebody that pops up and says, repent! Everybody needs to repent! Repent right now! You know, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and all that stuff.
Right, yeah.
And then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. You know what? God's people have been repenting for years. This has nothing to do with God's people repenting. Not for the sins that they think. They think they're repenting for the sins of America.
Yeah.
Now, they need to follow me on this. They think that they are repenting for the sins of America. Oh, God, forgive us for abortion. Forgive us for this prayer being removed from school.
Right.
Forgive us for all these things that America is doing wrong. Because they're repenting in their self-righteousness.
Really? Go on.
And, yeah. And what they have done is set up a system where they are actually looking for punishment. They want judgment on America.
Right. No, that's definitely true.
There are people, there are Christians, there are believers in America right now, today. They will fight you for the right to have judgment come on America. And
true.
Every little thing that happens, they're going to say, it's the judgment of God. God did it. God caused the storm. God caused the earthquake. God caused the wildfires. God caused the flood. I mean,
right.
It's truly beyond wicked in my way of thinking, especially as a prophet seer, which is what I am. They have no idea the mercy that God has had on those people, first of all. The people are victims of all these horrible disasters going on in America.
Yeah.
People, we're praying for you out there. If you're listening right now and you are a victim of anything that has happened in the weather patterns, the Lord told me over 10 years ago, like 15 years ago, he told me that the spirit of terror was invading our weather systems.
Yep.
And it has gotten worse and worse, and then it was Sandy, and there was all these different things. And I just want you to know, we're praying for you guys. You did not deserve this. This was not judgment from God. This was not punishment for something you did. This was the effect of living in a fallen world. The curse is on the earth.
Yeah.
A lot of people, you know, we're praying, we're believing God, and a lot of people are like trying, let's calm the storm, and I do believe it would have been worse if people had not come together and prayed. But still,
sure.
Our hearts are going out to, and our prayers and our finances to the people that are still hurting and recovering from all of the disasters all over our country.
Right.
But I want you to know that it is not judgment from God. And if anybody tries to tell you that, tell him no. Tell him you don't receive him. Tell him that's not the God you serve. That is not our God. Did you know that Jesus went to the cross to take our punishment? Jesus went to the cross to take our judgment. He didn't do that so he could turn right around and then just start whooping up on innocent people for the sins of someone else.
That's a good way to put it.
He really didn't do that. Yeah.
Right.
And so I know I'm a little over the map. I'm all over the map. Of course I am. That's what I do.
Yeah, that's relevant.
Yes.
What you're talking about.
And so we've been talking about some of those things. And then religionism in America. And the spirit of Pharisee on the right. The obstructionists in Congress that won't allow President Trump to do anything, even though they claim to be Republicans. They are enemies of our president. They are enemies of Israel. They are enemies of God. Because they will not allow President Trump to do what God put him into office to do.
Wow. Bold statement.
It is.
Yeah.
Mike even had a vision about that, and the Lord showed him the gallows of Pharisee. And he said, pray against it and be aware of it. I'm talking about the guys on the right, not the left.
Yeah.
These conservatives that don't like Trump, they're elitists. They're Pharisees.
I guess they'd be part of the swamp.
Absolutely.
That he wants to drain.
And they have their own little agenda and their own little reputation that they're trying to keep. They want to keep the status quo. They have not protected him. They have not backed him up. They have not supported anything he's tried to do. And so then people start blaming President Trump. How come he can't get this done, that done? How about because my own party has betrayed me, deceived me, lied to my face, knifed me in the back? That's the gallows of Pharisee. They set it up for President Trump. They're trying to destroy him from the right.
Yeah, wow.
See, people understand that the anti-Trump media and all that on the left, mm-hmm. and I'm talking about politics, oops. Oh, well. And
yeah, keep going.
People understand about, you know, the anti-Trump stuff coming from the left.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing you need to know about demons. They come in groups. You don't just get one. You don't even just get two. Usually they come at least three, four. They come in groups.
Interesting. Yeah.
And so people are all, you know, watching their favorite show on Fox News or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And on and on and on they go about the horrible people that are against Trump. I just wonder how many of them realize just how wicked it is on the right.
That's a good point.
And that they have never, I cannot think of, and maybe I've missed something because I don't really watch the news much, but who has stepped up, I'm talking about any influential congressman on the right, has stepped up and actually taken up our president's cause and influenced others to do so and said, let's help him get this done. Things that they even promised they were going to do before, like health care, etc.
Right.
And then when they had the chance.
Now that did not go well.
They betrayed him. They betrayed him. Because yeah. They didn't like the vessel. God sent a vessel, and they did not like the vessel.
They did not.
Just like the Pharisees of old. They did not like Jesus. I'm not trying to say that Trump is like Jesus. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm just saying they didn't like the vessel. And it's upsetting their little apple cart, whatever. And they are willing to lose everything rather than to be associated with and to support our president.
Yeah.
And to me, I'm feeling like, how dare they?
Yeah.
I'm really.
They just want it to be like it was before, you know, because like I said, they're part of the swamp.
They are.
And part of the system. And, you know, he went there.
To drain
President
it?
Trump, I mean, yeah, exactly. As an outsider, to drain the swamp and, you know, bring changes to Washington. So some of the people, even on the right, don't really want that.
That's right.
Clearly.
And there's some of them that are good Christian men. And I'm really glad that none of them made it. I'm so glad they got that God raised up Donald Trump, because we do not need a Pharisee in the White House. And God spared us. And besides, if any of those other guys had run, Hillary would have won. Period. Mm.
Yeah.
Jezebel would have won over the Pharisee.
Interesting.
I can't stand to hear some of their voices. There's some of them, honest to God, it is repulsive to me to hear them talk. I'm talking about the Pharisees.
Yeah, yeah. I know, at least in one case, exactly who you're talking about. I'm not going to spill the beans here.
I know what denomination they're from. And in its wickedness,
Yeah.
Dead men, it's whitewashed sepulchers full of dead men's bones. That's what Jesus, those are the words of Jesus to the Pharisees. Mm-hmm. Whitewashed sepulchers full of dead men's bones. Brood of vipers. In fact, I've got it right here. It's Matthew 23. And yes, it does say this in the Bible. Isn't it awful?
Yeah.
The people, but that's not a nice thing to say. Nope, sure isn't.
It's not.
But it's the truth. How about that? Did you know, just an aside, nice is not one of the fruit of the Spirit. Cogitate on that for a minute, folks. Mm-hmm. Okay. I know there are a whole bunch of folks that like what I'm saying.
Right.
In Matthew chapter 23. I'll just read you a little, and hopefully it won't take too long because it's in the Amplified, which gets real wordy.
Okay. Well, no problem.
Then Jesus said to his to the multitudes, okay, and to his disciples, "The scribes and Pharisees sit on Moses' seat of authority. So observe and practice all they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they preach, but they do not practice. They tie up heavy loads, hard to bear, and place them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not lift a finger to help bear them. They do all their works to be seen of men, for they make wide their phylacteries." And I'm not going to read all of this stuff in the brackets.
That's okay.
Put there by the translators. It's not part of it.
Okay. Moving on.
"And make long their fringes, and they take pleasure in and love the best place of honor at feasts and the best seats in the synagogues, and to be treated with honor in the marketplaces, and to have people call them rabbi." You know, I used to think rabbi was the plural of rabbit.
Funny. Yeah.
Look at all those rabbi. Okay, excuse me. Okay. Okay, they like to be called rabbi. Oh, no. I got a picture of a bunch, like a flock of rabbi running up the hill.
Right.
Okay. But.
Okay. It means teacher, everyone.
Teacher. But you are not to be called. But you are not to be called rabbi, teacher, for one is your teacher, and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone in the church on earth father, and for you have one father who is in heaven. And you must not be called, okay, wait a minute, this isn't really what I'm going for. And he's telling what not to tell him, not what to call each other. Don't call each other names.
Okay.
We'll try not. Okay. "Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled. And whoever humbles himself shall be raised to honor. But woe to you." Now, these are the words of Jesus.
Okay.
And it would be the red letter edition
if
this wasn't the Amplified. We have been up all night, and I'm just Looney Tunes here. It's okay. So.
All right. Thanks for clearing that up.
Yeah, but it also sets me free.
There you go.
Kind of like stop censoring yourself here.
Sure.
A little dangerous. Okay. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, pretenders, hypocrites, because you shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces, for you neither enter yourselves nor do you allow those who are about to go in to do so. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, pretenders, hypocrites! For you swallow up widows' houses, and for a pretense you cover it up with long prayers. Therefore you will receive the greater condemnation and the heavier sentence. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, pretenders, hypocrites! For you travel over sea and land to make a single proselyte, and when he becomes a proselyte, you make him doubly as much a child of hell as you are." That's pretty strong.
That is.
And just to remind them, this is Jesus talking.
It is.
Our humble...
Our sweet Lord and Savior.
With the sheep under his arm.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like he weighs about 140 pounds in the pictures.
Right. With his lily white skin and his beard. And you're right.
These little religious pictures show him wearing actually women's clothing because the people that painted it didn't know that those colors were for women.
Oh.
So I just thought I'd throw that in.
Yeah, good to know. Mm-hmm. With the halo around the head visible.
Okay. "Woe to you, blind guides, who say, if anyone swears by the sanctuary of the temple, it is nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold of the sanctuary, he is a debtor, bound by his oath. You blind fools. For which is greater, the gold or the sanctuary of the temple that has made the gold sacred?" And it goes on about that kind of thing. And basically what he was saying is, the gold mattered more to them than the temple. The money.
Yeah.
They loved money.
Mm-hmm.
And the love of money is the root of all evil, not money itself. Just
right.
The love of money.
The love of money. Correct. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm going to look down through here and see. Da-da-da, da-da-da. And he talked to them about how he calls them again. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, pretenders, hypocrites. For you give a tenth of your mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected and omitted the weightier, more important matters of the law, right and justice and mercy and fidelity. Gallows of Pharisee in Washington, D.C., you have neglected right and justice and mercy and fidelity.
Wow.
These you ought to have done without neglecting the rest. You blind guides, filtering out a gnat and gulping down a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, pretenders, hypocrites. For you clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within you are full of extortion, prey, spoil, plunder, and grasping self-indulgence. Al Gore.
Yep. I heard that.
Okay. You blind guides, first clean the inside of the cup and of the plate so that the outside may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, pretenders, hypocrites, for you are like tombs that have been whitewashed, which look beautiful on the outside, but inside are full of dead men's bones and everything impure. Just so, you also outwardly seem to people to be right, upright, and just, but inside you are full of pretense and lawlessness and iniquity. And then he just goes on, basically like that. In verse 33 of Matthew 23, he even says, you serpents, you spawn of vipers, King James, you brood of vipers, how can you escape the penalty to be suffered in hell?
Ouch.
Yeah. And he's talking about the blood of the righteous comes on their head. Mm-hmm. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, murdering the prophets and stoning those who are sent to you. How often would I have gathered your children together as a mother fowl gathers her brood under her wings, and you refused. Behold, your house is forsaken and desolate, abandoned and left destitute. For you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Which is exactly what they were saying during the triumphal entry. But now, I'm not talking about Jerusalem at the moment.
Yeah.
But the analogy here and what I feel in the spirit, the prophetic word here, is that Jerusalem, Jerusalem, he's talking to the Pharisees.
The Pharisees.
Yes. The Pharisees, the rulers of Israel, the religious rulers.
Yes.
The people had to follow these religious rulers. The system was set up that they were required to do what the religious rulers said, and these religious rulers were abusive. They were wrong. They had like 300 and some odd extra laws, man-made laws that they added to the law of God and demanded everybody to keep those. In fact, more so than the actual laws of God. And they wouldn't go in. They wouldn't let anyone else go in. And they believed that they were doing God a favor, even in crucifying Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's what we're dealing with, that attitude, that spirit on the religious right. The alt-right. Well, I'm talking about so far right, they're not right anymore.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they're not correct.
Right.
They are so busy covering their butts that they do not care if President Trump goes down the toilet. In fact, they kind of hope he does.
It's like the rhinos establishment.
Absolutely. The never-Trumpers.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
A lot of them are Christians. A lot of them are, at least profess to be.
Mm-hmm.
They are deceived. Because they did not recognize, just like when Jesus came, these Pharisees did not recognize their Messiah when he showed up. The Jewish people were under Roman
occupation.
Yeah, occupation.
Right.
And they just wanted to have freedom to worship the Lord. And the Roman government made deals with the Pharisees.
Yeah.
And the religious rulers, the Sanhedrin Council, these guys made deals, political deals, with Rome.
It's true.
Against their own people.
Right.
Just to protect their own position. And Jesus knew it, and he went after them because they no longer had God's best interest at heart. They didn't care about souls. They didn't care about God's people. They did not love what God loved. They didn't love his people. They didn't understand what God was doing in the earth. They were completely devoid of any kind of perception.
None. And they were the establishment of the time.
They were.
The establishment.
They could punish people in the name of the Lord. They could not kill them without Roman permission. That's why they had to take Jesus to the Roman leaders in order to crucify him.
Yes.
But they could sure punish people. They could sure put them through the ringer. And people were required to come to them by the law, and yet they were corrupt to the core. There were a few that weren't, but most of them were. Now, years ago, let me see, this is 2017, so I'm thinking probably 10 years ago.
Yeah.
The Lord told me, because I was a Republican.
Uh-huh.
And the Lord told me to go and change my affiliation to unaffiliated.
Uh-huh. Independent.
Yeah. In fact, not even independent. I tried. Oh, I did independent, and then I found out that that was a party.
That's true. There is an independent party.
Right.
Right.
So then I had to go unaffiliated.
Uh-huh. Okay, I gotcha.
So,
no party.
Because he said that he needed me free to be able to and not have a dog in this fight, you know, myself, so I could say what he was telling me.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because he was talking to me about Obama and Hillary as well, and different ones down through the years. But I've been amazed. Okay, I'm going to pull this together with something else that's been going on.
Uh-huh.
See, now that's religionism right there.
Mm-hmm.
The Pharisees in Congress, and I know if you go on YouTube, you can find one of Mike's, he's got so many, where he shared visions, dreams, words from the Lord. He has had, I mean, it's just been like nonstop. When the Lord put Donald Trump in his basket, Mike was already a very prolific prophet, but when the Lord told him in April of 2016 that dogs of hell had been loosed against the man with the hand of the Lord upon him.
Yeah.
And then he showed him Donald Trump, the man with the hand of the Lord on him.
Yes.
And then he told him the dogs of hell, hatred, false witness, and murder. Then he said, you know, we're to pray against it. And he said to pray for truth and justice and release it into the atmosphere. There were a handful of prophets that took a stand back then and told people, this is what the Lord says about Donald Trump. So many people did not like it. So many Christians didn't like it.
Yeah.
They did not like the vessel. Mm-hmm. God had to use someone who was not a Pharisee. He could not use any of the people that were already there. He had to bring in someone from the outside who had no agenda other than just, you know, to bless America. That really is the agenda of Donald Trump's heart. Now, we've got all these people on the left that have chosen to believe lies about him, and they have never vetted their sources.
Yeah, of course.
And it's really frustrating
to
hear them call him all these names that I don't even know what half of them mean, except, I don't know, you know, other than they think he's anti-woman, anti-whatever. And they don't even know. Right. They call him a racist, and I don't know why, because he's not.
Yeah.
They don't know. They just believe whatever they're told. So they just tell you how stupid they are.
It's just marching orders. Yeah.
It's true. And they're elite. You got your elitists on the right and elitists on the left. People that would prefer to be, have their dignity and be important in the community or among their friends. And elitism. They cannot, I mean, they would not even admit if they did vote for Donald Trump, which obviously a bunch of them did. Mm-hmm. More than half the country.
I mean, he obviously got elected.
Right.
So, yeah.
The largest share was evangelicals. 80% of evangelicals voted for Trump. And at least 83%. And then a whole bunch of white men. And black men.
Mm-hmm.
It was not a racial thing. They tried to make it a racial thing, but it wasn't. and they have come up with every stupid lie under the sun to try to discredit. From the get-go, they tried to just say that Ronald McDonald.
I thought you were going to say Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan. Yeah. Ronald McDonald. Yeah. Donald Trump. They tried to disqualify him to even run for president, which is un-American. If you're an American and you meet the criteria, you have the right to run for president, no matter whether people think that you do or not. I mean, it's just the law. How dare they treat him the way they treated him from the get-go?
Sure.
And to this day, they're like, oh, do you think Trump should be impeached? For what? What did he do that would be impeachable? That's the most ludicrous thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, it has to be treason or something like that.
He has done nothing but try to bless our country. And every person that's actually gone to meet with him personally, they come away liking the guy because they see his heart.
Yeah, that happens a lot. And then, I mean, with impeachment, it's okay, like the House of Representatives has to vote for impeachment, and then if they can come up with an impeachable offense, then they take it to the Senate, and then the Senate has to try him, like that would be the court. Mm-hmm. But I mean, the House and the Senate are mostly Republicans. He's just not going to get impeached.
I just find that ridiculous. It is. It's so ludicrous. And I'm not talking about a rapper. It's so incredibly ludicrous. Impeachment is not a possibility.
Right. At least,
It's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. But,
In the midst of all of this entire atmosphere in America, it's been going on. It's been going on way too long. And that families have been broken up, relationships, friendships. The strife and the violence in the atmosphere is just beyond the pale. It's over the top. We haven't seen this since, and we didn't see it, but this pretty much compared to like times of the Civil War or something. There is a civil war going on in America right now. It's a cultural one. There's also a civil war going on in the body of Christ right now. Over the goodness of God.
That's also true.
And that's also, in all fairness, I need to say that we heard Bill Johnson say that back in probably over 10 years ago.
It was.
He said, the coming move of God, the coming civil war in the body of Christ was going to be over the goodness of God.
That's right.
And it really does make sense because so many Christians want judgment. They would rather have judgment than revival. We've had, the Lord has taken Mike up into the second heaven, actually introduced into Michael the Archangel, which really blew us away. We thought, who's going to believe this?
Yeah.
And he's seen him and actually talked to him like 5 times since the original one. In 2012. And I didn't even know it till the other day that I saw in the book of Daniel, I think it's the last chapter, that says in the last days that Michael the Archangel would arise. I didn't know that.
Wow.
Because he's in the book of Daniel, and he's also in the book of Revelations. He's the warrior angel, the angel of Israel, and spiritual Israel, which is the believers in Jesus Christ, those who are followers of Jesus, are spiritual Israel. We are grafted in. So therefore, technically, he's our warrior angel too. But he told Mike that, the Lord told Mike that the Lord was going to bring down and expose the enemies of Israel, even those in America. I wanted to address that whole spirit of religionism, the strife in America, the strife over the country, the violence, the protests, the fake news, all these different things that we have never experienced before. What God is doing is whatever can be shaken will be shaken. God is shaking things. But he didn't cause a storm. He didn't cause any of this stuff. He didn't cause earthquakes. I'm talking about he's shaking the spiritual realm. And he is calling people to make choices right now. Whether they are going to believe God, believe the Word, believe the covenants of God throughout the Word, especially the New Covenant, and believe that even when Jesus said that there would be wars, rumors of wars, all these, you know, kingdom, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, which, by the way, is nation against nation is in the natural, and kingdom against kingdom is like the like the principality spiritual. And power in of the air over each kingdom.
Oh, I see.
They have a demonic prince over these different countries.
Mm-hmm.
Kingdom rising against kingdom is in the spiritual realm.
Yeah.
Second heaven. In the second heaven where right. the warfare takes place. And so, and that's why the thing about Kim Jong-un.
Right.
And believe it or not, I'm, this is all part of one subject. I'm not all, it's really as all over the map as it sounds.
I'm gonna tie it all up.
Yeah. The Lord took Mike up, and the Holy Spirit actually told Mike, as a prophet, because Mike's a prophet, it took him a while to say yes to that, because he was not accustomed to, he was too, what, almost too humble to take his place. But the Lord said he needed someone. He said, actually, he told me he needed generals that would show people what normal looks like in this, in supernatural times.
Sure.
Because otherwise people just go crazy, freaky. They do. They lose their minds. They go nuts. They believe any stupid thing that comes down the pike instead of the Word of God.
That is a danger.
And so the Lord told Mike to come up, and he said, I need you to say this. I need my prophet to say this. And so Mike said, he didn't want to do it, but he did. The Holy Spirit spoke through him and said, Kim Jong-un, the worms eat you.
Mm-hmm.
And once he said it, then the Lord released him from it. He needed a man. He needed a human, a prophet, to speak yeah. it into the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Because Kim Jong-un is the embodiment of that prince of the power of the air, that principality, I should say, over North Korea.
Makes sense.
Not all dictators take on the actual demonic entity, but he did. And throughout the Word, especially you can find it in the New Testament a lot, in the Book of Acts, when there's a someone in leadership who comes in and they take a stand against people receiving the Word of the Lord, people being saved, etc., the Lord doesn't mess with them. Ananias and Sapphira.
Oh, yeah.
And was it Elimas that was pronounced blind when he tried to step in and keep Paul from talking to the magistrate about the Lord?
Yeah.
There are times, and it may sound a little harsh, but I heard the cries, personally. I heard the cries of believers in North Korea.
Oh, really?
And first I heard the yeah. Lord say, I'm going to pour out revival in North Korea. I'm going to pour out revival,
wow.
and I'm going to prepare a table before them in the presence of their enemies. And right now, their enemy is their the leader of their country.
That's for sure.
The sanctions that have been coming against North Korea are not mm-hmm. affecting him yet.
Yeah.
They're just brutalizing the people.
Right. He doesn't care.
He doesn't care. He doesn't care if they live or die. Mm-hmm. He's killed. He's murdered his own people. They
absolutely.
Live in just absolute. It's unthinkable what's mm-hmm. going on over there. And I heard a voice, in fact, several, but one specifically, like it was the culmination of all the voices crying out in North Korea, saying, does anyone know we're here? Does anyone know we're here?
Mm-hmm.
It was Christians in North Korea.
Hmm.
They are there.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And they were saying, does anyone know we're here? I actually saw a man getting into bed and crying out to God, praying.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't even tell Mike that part.
Hmm.
I saw him crawling back and just crying out to the Lord. Do they know we're here? Are they praying for us? Do they know we even exist? They've been so isolated and cut off from the world and tormented. And God is putting a stop to that.
I'm glad to hear it.
And yeah. And I don't know if it was once. It seems to me like twice the Lord had Mike go up into the second heaven where the warfare takes place. And someone on YouTube was saying, well, how can that be? Because that's where the devil lives. Blah, 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 blah. You know, guys, read your Bible. Okay? That's where the warfare takes place. Mm-hmm. The Lord took him up there and he said it. He said it twice. It happened twice where the Lord told him to do that. He didn't mm-hmm. want to. He didn't want to pronounce anything against anyone.
Sure.
But that also happened to Herod in the Bible. In the New Testament,
yeah.
King
mm-hmm.
Herod. He set himself up as God.
Mm-hmm.
And the worms ate him.
Yeah.
It says it in the Word. Mm-hmm. Look it up.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what the Lord said to him. And now I know that there's some other prophets, you know, this has been like dueling prophets, saying that he dreamed that he accepted the Lord, that Kim Jong-un.
Oh.
And you know what? You know, I'm not going to, I really don't have much to say
yeah,
about that.
That would be great.
Sure. That'd be awesome. God would have all men to be saved. But there also are times when he will do what he has to do to protect his people.
Sure.
When a man gives himself over to demons and doesn't care about the lives of God's children, God will do something about it for the sake of his people. Now, that's not judgment on God's people. That's judgment on the devil. It's judgment on people that link themselves with the devil.
Yeah, true story.
So when people say, it's time for judgment, and then they start wanting to sell, you know, stuff to all the Christians about, you know, preppers and stuff.
Yeah.
Why? Christian judgment's not coming on the Christians.
Good point.
And the other last point, I know, you know, this is actually a very interesting podcast.
Yeah, it is.
I have said a few things I didn't realize was going to come out. Mike was on a 5-day prayer retreat last week, and the Lord showed him something, and I had been feeling this too. And he came back and he preached it Sunday to our group and the live streaming, which goes out to thousands right now,
mm-hmm.
about America in trauma. America
yes.
is in trauma right now and displaying symptoms of PTSD, which is post-traumatic stress disorder.
Mm-hmm.
America has been through too much as a country. America has just been suffering. The people, there's just constant bombardment, constant attacks, constant bad news, constant. I mean, from day to day, they're not being told any good news, even though there is good news happening out there.
Yeah.
Like jobs coming back to America. The stock market is higher than it's been in, like, maybe forever. I mean, things are going well, but the media won't let you know that.
No, they're focused on just negative stories on Trump and his administration.
Exactly. And the people in America have been so traumatized through all of this. And the strife in the atmosphere and the violence in the atmosphere is having an impact on people.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, people who had already been abused. He actually went to some of the churches, and boy, people freak. They do not want to hear about abuse. They don't want to hear some get very nervous.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no, we don't talk about those things.
Or don't know how to respond to it or
yeah.
feel on the spot somehow.
Yeah, like, we just keep this secret. Let's keep this all under the rug. Or, no, you got saved now, so you're never going to have a nightmare again. It's really interesting because, personally, it affects me because I was raised, and I know he shared some of that Sunday, which, mm-hmm. to my chagrin, actually, because I didn't know he was going to share all that,
mm-hmm.
that I personally am, I don't like the word survivor or victim. I went through childhood abuse.
Sure.
I am still here,
mm-hmm.
and I'm only here because of the grace of God, and we're talking, see, I don't even want to talk about it, other than just to say, see, I have a Mm-hmm. But see, I'm the one that went through it.
Yeah.
The physical abuse, the beatings, having to cover myself up before I went to school, clear up until I married Mike when I was 17.
Mm-hmm.
I got pictures of myself with Mike when I had great big bruises on my arms.
Oh, yeah.
From being beaten. And I had stopped trying to cover them.
Wow.
That
yeah.
made my dad a little bit nervous. Oops. Mm. I mean, the person that did it.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Uh-oh.
If the shoe fits.
Yeah. That's funny. That was close.
Whoopsie. I'm also a little dyslexic, just so you know. I've had head injuries. I don't know how many. From my childhood, frankly.
Yeah,
besides
right.
three car wrecks as an adult. Mm. But I don't know how many times I was dropped on my head or beat in the head. And so I do deal with dyslexia and memory issues and things like that because of the abuse.
Yeah.
That's a thing I have to live with.
Sure.
The other thing is PTSD and my own personal experience that he was sharing. I was also molested from probably, well, before my earliest memories, frankly, and clear up until I got married at the age of 17 and got out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was also raped, which is slightly different. Mm-hmm. The first time that I can remember was, I don't remember if I was 3 or 5. It was right in there. Then I was raped again later, ran away from home, raped again. Once that stuff starts happening to you and you're not allowed to say no, you don't know how to protect yourself. I didn't.
Wow.
And that's what happens to so many people that have been abused. And so the fact that I'm even here right now talking means that the Lord has done so much healing in my life. I just want to make that clear to people because all of a sudden after Sunday, everything fell silent, man.
Oh, really?
Facebook was, you know, you could hear crickets.
Oh, no kidding.
Nobody knows what to say.
Uh-huh.
And here's the thing. The body of Christ is going to have to learn what to say because that's a lot of the kind of people that we draw to our ministry. And let me tell you who all that I know of have PTSD. Which is the effects of trauma or being in a war zone, which is just like the soldiers coming home from war.
Yeah.
It affects people and it affects them involuntarily. They don't have control over it. And someone will say, well, it's just a demon, cast it out. And no, that's just not the case. And I wish it was. That'd make it really nice and convenient. But that's not how it is. I tried to shove it under the rug for years after I got saved, and it just kept coming back out from under the rug. Because unless you deal with it, it will continue to sabotage your life and your destiny. You cannot fulfill your destiny unless you deal with the trauma and your issues and are not afraid. It doesn't mean that everything will be going away and you're going to be just perfectly fine. Like, I'm still dyslexic. I still have nightmares sometimes when I get under stress or whatever.
Yeah.
But the Lord has brought me a long ways. Everything's process. But let me tell you who had PTSD. And you can tell when you read it in the Bible. Joseph with the coat of many colors had PTSD. By the time his brothers got done with him, he was sold into slavery, thrown in the pit. They were going to kill him. Someone talked him out of it. He was thrown in the pit. Was bought by somebody. They took him and sold him into slavery. And then he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. And into prison he goes. He did not deserve a thing that was done to him. None of it. But it says in the Word that when he was in prison, his soul went into the iron and the bars.
Mm-hmm.
He had PTSD and depression. And that even when the Lord brought him out and put him in charge of the kingdom, or a third of the kingdom, whatever it was, when his brothers had to come to him because of the famine, he had to go to the other room and cry. People should read that story, especially in the Amplified. It's very helpful. He literally had to leave the room and go cry when he saw his brothers.
Yeah.
He wept.
He did do that. Yeah.
He went through all of, I mean, the myriad of emotions that people go through. People that you loved. You couldn't believe they would do that to you. They were supposed to take care of you. All mm-hmm. this kind of stuff. He wept. And then he put them through the ringer when he came out. He didn't tell them who he was. He just put them through the ringer. He played games with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
right.
Man, he messed with their heads. Mm-hmm. He sent them back with a golden goblet in Benjamin's bag and then sent someone to go like, hey, you stole this from, I mean, they just, right. he messed with them
there.
Royally.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He had PTSD.
No pun intended. Yeah, exactly.
He messed with them royally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another one was the prophet Elijah. He had PTSD. These people went through trauma.
Hmm.
When really? He was laying out there on the by the brook, we're talking about someone who he was suicidal.
Mm-hmm.
He was done. And yet, when the power of God comes on a person, it overcomes that stuff. And that's, and there, I've got others. King David had PTSD. These guys all had depression.
Wow.
They struggled with this. King David and his mighty men.
Yeah.
They had PTSD. Some of them could not go back over the river to help get their families back because they were just so brutalized they couldn't take it. And, you know, there's a lot of stories that people ought to read because these guys and David, you know, when they came back, some of the mighty men said, you guys don't get anything because you didn't come and help us. You stayed here by the river, by the stuff. And David mm-hmm. said, no, they get their fair share of everything. Because they gave it their all. He knew they had PTSD. I don't know what they called it. But those guys had seen their families and children stolen from them
mm-hmm.
due to the trauma they endured, but they knew the secret of the Lord.
There you go.
So do not be weary in well-doing. To those with PTSD, God says to you, you are stronger than you ever knew. And the fact that you're still alive today, especially if you're serving the Lord is so proud of you. Even if you can't do everything that everybody thinks you ought to do, that's none of their business. Walk a mile in your shoes, man. The fact that you're here, you're serving God, He's so proud of you. And believers need to understand that. They need to understand how to relate to people who have been traumatized. Because when they come to the church, cliches do not work. The Word of God says, the two different places, and they're like right across the page from each other, even though it's two different books. The end of Second Peter and the beginning of First John, where it says, if we confess our sins to one another, pray for one another that we may be healed, that literally what he's saying is we confess sins, faults, problems, sin done to us.
Mm-hmm.
Is part of that to one another and pray for one another that we may be healed. You can't be afraid to talk about stuff because it makes you uncomfortable. That person had to live with it, whether they felt, you know, comfortable about it or not.
Yeah.
And that's still part of their life, whether they like it or not. They can't change their history just so that you will feel more comfortable with it. And then in 1 John, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. So the only way to walk in the light, as he is in the light, is to bring those things into the light. As long, oh man, there was a really good quote I was going to share. Where is it? Super good quote. Okay, so if you're uncomfortable looking at, and this isn't it, but I'm looking for it. We don't get so spiritual that we don't feel it anymore. Just the opposite, really. But when I minister to people, I can tell immediately if they were abused or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm ready to say whatever the Spirit wants me to say to comfort that wounded heart. In order to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ, we must be willing to give him access to our whole heart. Even those things that we wish weren't there, we pretend they aren't there, we have to let him in there.
It's not easy.
No. But that's the only way you can be healed. We are in process for the rest of our lives. So if you're uncomfortable looking at pain in your own heart, then you will be severely impaired ministering to anyone else's heart with any authenticity at all. Clichés don't help. Only the loving kindness of God can heal a heart. And the biggie is only the glory can heal hearts. And that's why we're always pushing for the glory. That's mm-hmm. why I have to have the glory.
Yeah, right.
I have to have the glory in our meetings, in anything we do. And if there's someone there that doesn't like the glory, they don't think we should be laughing. We don't think we should be crying. We don't need to be experiencing the presence of God. And my first thought would be, why would you not want to?
That's a good question. definitely in the wrong place.
Yeah. I can't live. I cannot go to church where the glory of God is not allowed, even if it's my own church. It's that plain and simple.
Mm-hmm.
I was raised in church. I was actually molested by some of the men in the church.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot go to church unless I know that the glory of God is going to be allowed. If I get into a service and there are people there sitting there shutting it down because they just don't like all that laughter, or they don't like the crying, they mm-hmm. don't like people on the floor, they don't prefer that kind of ministry,
mm-hmm.
either they should leave and find one up church where they do feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd really rather that they experience it, because once you experience that glory, it changes you forever. Just like when you got baptized in the Holy Spirit, it changed you forever. You didn't understand it until it happened to you. But you had to open your heart and for it to happen to you.
Right.
And even after said all of that, and there's no condemnation, there's one thing, and I still am looking for it.
Huh.
The thing that's buried in the darkness. You remember that?
No, what is that? No, I don't remember that.
Oy.
I don't remember where we're going. That's okay.
Okay.
You got it?
Yes, I do. The scripture I was saying, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. That includes sin done to us, not just sin done by us. Bring it out of the darkness so that you may be healed. Jesus said, blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. If you don't mourn, which means to look at it, feel it, acknowledge it.
Yeah.
You can't be comforted. There's no comfort if you don't mourn. For yourself, or for the world around you, for anyone else. If you can't weep with those who weep, there's no comfort. But here's the one I was looking for. Real comfort is impossible when your pain is buried in the darkness. Real comfort is impossible when your pain is buried in the darkness. Real comfort and real fellowship and real healing happens in the light. That's one reason we must have the outpouring of God's glory. The laughter, the tears, the freedom, encounters with heaven. I must have it. I have to have it. I cannot exist without it. I can't go to church without it.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't go to any church that doesn't allow it.
Yeah.
The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And this is the way he brought me into the kingdom, was through the glory.
Right.
I didn't come into the kingdom that way so that I could go back to living in that, you know, basically return to the scene of the crime, the scene of the rape.
Because yeah, that's
what church is for me, unless the glory is allowed.
Yeah.
And people need to understand that's how strongly I feel about it,
mm-hmm.
personally.
Yeah.
And so, they just need to know the truth about me. The Lord has brought me out. He's delivering me. He's still delivering me. But the thing about America and trauma, I will finish that thought.
Okay.
I know this is getting long. I don't know how long it is. I don't know. But
we're fine.
Okay. Right now, people that have PTSD, and we know a lot of them, they are having a horrible time. We know
in general.
We know people all over the country. Mike has been a counselor for years. He used to counsel. He doesn't do abuse counseling anymore, but he used to.
Right. Professionally. He used to.
Yeah, mm-hmm. he did. And even entire denominations at least the region in that area where we lived, would send their pastors to Mike.
Yes.
To help with things like that. Abuse, mm-hmm. domestic abuse, all kinds of stuff. Especially sexual abuse, adults molested as children, and adults raised by alcoholic parents, all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
Those people are deeply wounded. And their churches didn't believe. He actually went to some of the churches, and they said, we don't have any of those people in our church. Mike went by to drop off his card and said, if anyone here needs counsel, mm-hmm. I just want you to know that I'm available.
Yeah.
And then we had pastors say, we don't have any of those people in our church.
Uh-huh.
They're all delivered. Everybody here is free.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, later on, about five different people sneak over
yeah.
from that man's church
sure.
needing help because they can't talk about it there. That's the only thing. He didn't know they existed because they're not allowed to talk about it. It's been kept buried in the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it was like. People were sneaking over to get help constantly.
Mm-hmm.
Christians from other churches. And he also offered it to the community. And so many people came and ended up getting saved in the counseling office. They didn't know the Lord at all. They just needed someone to help them. There's so much pain. People are hurting out there. Jesus did not come to set up a nice religion where people could dress up and go to church and be with their buddies and everybody sings a song and feels good and pat each other on the head and go home. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, if you're not willing to get your hands dirty, if you're not willing to get on your knees and pray with someone, if you're not willing to weep with those who weep, if you're not willing to care, if you don't want to hear someone's story. And I know there's people that take advantage of it. Start feeling like they're entitled. I've seen it. We've seen it. People that have been abused, and then they use it as their ticket through life so they never have to take responsibility for anything.
Oh, yeah.
And, okay. So there's people that have been abused that are serious about being healed, and there are others that are just using it as a free ride to let everybody else take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
No, don't pay any attention to them then. That's not what I'm talking about.
Sure.
But, there is authentic healing, but the trauma in America right now, so many people have called Mike, former clients that are struggling because all of a sudden they're back having nightmares again.
Is that right?
Yeah. They're having nightmares. They're unable to concentrate. They can't think. And it's an involuntary thing. That's the thing. People... When they try to blame you, like, get your act together. Just get your act together. You're okay. Just act okay.
So why do you think that's happening right now?
It's the atmosphere.
The atmosphere.
Absolutely the atmosphere over our country.
Okay.
Has the only time I've seen it like this before was on 9/11.
Hmm.
I couldn't leave the house for days. All I could do was sit and stare. The whole country was stunned. The whole country was traumatized on 9/11.
Right.
We sat there and watched. I mean, the people
sure.
that were running the cameras, the journalists, they didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. Peter Jennings wept openly on television. I mean, these people did not know what to do. So yeah. They just kept running the same pictures over and over and over and over. And over and over. And no one could wrap their brain around what was going on.
It was very traumatic for the country.
It was.
For sure.
We saw people jumping from buildings, and it took a while to catch on. Like,
mm-hmm.
Those are people. Those are people. Oh, my God. People are jumping out of the buildings. How? Why?
Mm-hmm.
It's really that bad? And then... within just a few years, all of a sudden, all those pictures of people jumping from buildings disappeared, and they don't show it anymore. Very, very few.
No, they don't really show that.
And they tried to invalidate what America went through. Mm-hmm. Those people deserve to be honored. They were jumping right into the arms of Jesus. People need to realize that.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord said if anybody does this to one of my little ones, it's better for a millstone to be wrapped around their neck and dropped in the middle of the sea. That's how he felt about abuse.
That's right.
You don't traumatize my people.
Mm-hmm.
Period. And he's getting ready to release this amazing revival. Yes. Nation rising against nation. Kingdom against kingdom. There will be wars and rumors of wars, but the end is not yet. That's what Jesus said. The end is not yet.
Mm-hmm.
The next great thing is whoever called on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There is getting ready to be an outpouring of that glory that I was talking about.
Yeah.
The outpouring of that glory is going to hit America. Especially those that receive it, and eventually those that didn't really want it, they don't like it, don't want to participate in that.
Mm-hmm.
Too bad. It's going to hit. It's going to hit this country. And God is going to take back America. He's not bringing judgment. He's taking back what belongs to him. Mm-hmm. And he wants us to help him do that. And
good word.
I just want to encourage everybody that's listening right now.
Mm-hmm.
Forgive me for crying. No need, really.
Yeah, no need to apologize.
Because...
just being real here.
God is so good. Most of the healing that I have received, and I went through like something like 8 years of counseling. I was so ill at one point. I was down to 89 pounds. And then they kicked me out of the hospital because my insurance ran out.
Uh-oh.
And I almost lost my life. Because... and that was an effect. That was PTSD. It also happened at the hands of a church that Mike mentioned about that coup that happened.
It did.
What it was abuse. And the spirit of abuse affected me so intensely that I couldn't eat. And I didn't realize I was losing weight like that. And I almost lost my life.
That's intense.
And I've been struggling to get my health back ever since. But the mercy of God. He can turn our mourning into dancing. I never thought that I would be able to live again, function again. People go through stuff we have no idea. The impact on their lives. The Lord wants to take back what's His. He wants to restore. He wants to keep His good word. He wants to pour out His glory in such a way. That was it.
Comes back around to the fact that you can't do without the glory.
Yes.
That's what really matters. And so not just some church as usual situation.
Right. Exactly. And that's where I was healed, was when I was on the floor, under the glory, under the power of God,
mm-hmm.
basically stuck to the floor many times, laughing, which seems like the most ludicrous thing. That seems like just the opposite, you know. I would be literally laughing and crying at the same time sometimes.
Yeah.
But the only safe place for me was in the glory, on the floor, in the glory, man. I would be like one of the first ones drunk in the spirit and falling on the floor. And people get, I don't care if they get offended. That was my life. That was my only hope.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Was the glory of God. And I was willing to yield to anything that was God. Mm-hmm. And people realize, oh, we should all be crying. Well, some people do need to cry. But you know what? I was on the floor laughing my head off and being healed deep, deep down. Only God can do that. All the counselors in the world doesn't do that.
Right.
God can do that.
That's right.
And yeah, I remember crawling around for like 45 minutes trying to get up off the floor at one point. Mm-hmm. I had a towel over my head because I was embarrassed. Mm-hmm. I couldn't stop laughing. I was just screaming with laughter.
Uh-huh.
It was just coming from my gut, man.
Uh-huh.
God was healing me. He was cleaning me out.
Nice.
And that was just that was just that day. Uh-huh. There were other sessions. I got air quotes.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, is you couldn't possibly just point out one. It's happened so many times.
Oh, it does. And so I'm usually, when the glory hits, I'm one of the first ones to get drunk in the spirit, if you want to call it that. But he called it that on the day of Pentecost. Mm-hmm. The glory hit on the day of Pentecost.
Exactly.
That's why they were drunk in the spirit. That's why they had the flames of fire on their head. The glory, like mm-hmm. the glory in the wilderness, when they were being led by the pillar of fire. Mm-hmm. And now it's on top of everybody's head. It was the right. glory of God.
Absolutely.
And it brought people from all over. Thousands of people showed up to say, hey, what's going on here? You better believe it's not just because they were standing around going, you know, something mighty happened.
Right.
The glory of God hit that place. And thousands came to the kingdom, into the kingdom of God. Thousands of people accepted Jesus. And the next time, however many thousands more, it seemed like the next day, thousands of people came to Jesus because of the glory.
Exactly.
Your only safe place is in the glory, even in your own church. The only safe place is in the glory. The only true, authentic healing is in the glory and in the light. Don't bury it. But God loves you, and he's close to those who are of a broken heart. He knows what you've been through. He went through the ultimate abuse for you. And he wants to see you healed. And we are being changed into his image from one degree of glory to another. It's all a process. Everything's a process. So he loves you. Thank you for listening. Do you have anything you want to add?
Or nope. I think we're going to leave it there today. We're out of time. So,
all right.
Thank you guys for listening. We'll catch you next time.
And thank you for listening to the show. You can reach C.K. Thompson or Brian David at prophetsdwp@gmail.com. Or check out their website, www.wordoflifeworldoutreach.org. Thank you very much for listening to the show, and we'll see you next time.
The show you've just heard is part of the Streams of Many Waters podcast network.